Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni." Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Please bow with me as we pray for the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this awesome opportunity to gather together and praise you, worship you, just glorify you through this time. Father, this Easter Sunday, we just pray that you would continue to fill our hearts with joy, fill our hearts with thanksgiving, and that you would remind us again of your sacrificial love for us, how you resurrected from grave, and that you have given us the most precious gift, eternal life. So Lord, this time as we hear your word, your very word, be with us. Open our ears, open our hearts to hear, to receive your word, so that we, as your people, may live according to your word and glorify you through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. Christ is risen. Christ risen. Can we try that? I don't think we're going to hear that enough today, right? So why don't we try that one more time? Cheerfully, when I say Christ is risen, all of us, let's say Christ is risen indeed. Let's try that one more time. Count of three. 1, 2, 3. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen. Christ is risen indeed. Well, we gather together this morning because it's Easter. Today is the Resurrection Sunday, the day where we celebrate our Lord, how he came out of the grave, how he defeated the sin, how he defeated death, and ultimately brought salvation to us, to his people, so that we also may have life in him. We celebrate this day, yet we also remember that just a few days prior to the Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus died. It was the most devastating injustice in all of history, and it happened just a few days earlier. Jesus, he died a gruesome death, and it was devastating because he was a man who had helped. He was a man who had healed his community, healed those people in the community. But as you know, what happened was that he was betrayed by those people who have experienced Jesus's amazing miracles, those people who have tasted the grace of Jesus. And they have handed over. They handed over Jesus to be crucified. It was a tragedy and devastating because Jesus, he has given his life in so many years of discipling, training those disciples, it's a pastorally. And it was those very disciples, one of them who sold him. And what about the 11 of them? They have abandoned him. It was devastating because he was an innocent man. Even Pilate recognized his innocence. And yet, Jesus was still mocked, he was still beaten, he was still tortured, and he was killed on a cross. But it was most devastating because those who follow Jesus until that point, through his death, had lost hope in a Messiah, in a Savior. They had given their lives to follow Christ. They had put all of their hope in this Jesus. And when he died on that cross, it was as if their lives, all of their hope, had been shattered, had been broken, and there was nothing left. This is truly something that is devastating, is it not? Something that is worth mourning for. Something that is worth crying over. We know that after Jesus' death, the disciples, those who followed Jesus, they didn't understand his resurrection, right? And so they weren't expecting to see Jesus alive again. They weren't expecting Jesus to be resurrected. And so prior to our message or passage today, we see that Mary Magdalene, as well as Peter, along with one of the disciples, they go to the empty tomb of Jesus. And their initial conclusion when they see that Jesus is not in his tomb, when they see his grave clothes in there, stones rolled away, they weren't rejoicing the fact that Jesus has resurrected. They weren't expecting that. Instead, their initial thought was that somebody had taken his dead body away, that somebody had stolen his dead body. And so the two disciples, they go back home with grief, and more sorrow, and without hope. And we read in today's passage where Mary, she stays. She stays outside of his tomb, crying because her Lord, her Savior, her Messiah, whom she loved the most, was dead. And not only was he dead, but now somebody had taken his dead body away. And so she just stands there crying. She looks into that empty tomb, and instead of rejoicing, she cries. And when she's crying, she sees two angels where Jesus had laid, and they asked her this question: "Woman, why are you crying? Why are you crying?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." The reason that Mary was crying was because she believed that Jesus was dead. The reason why Mary was crying was because she didn't understand the fact that Jesus has resurrected and that he is alive now. As Leon Morris puts it, she was looking for a corpse, whereas she should have been seeking a person. Without understanding the salvation that Jesus brings, without understanding that Jesus is alive, that he died on the cross and yet he resurrected from the grave, without this understanding of the resurrection, we, all of us in this room, like Mary, cannot help but cry. We have no hope. Because if Jesus is just dead, and there's no victory over sin, there's no victory over death, the law is not fulfilled, we're still in our pitiless state, the state of no hope. For if Jesus did not rise, what can we look forward to? What will satisfy us? How can we receive forgiveness of sins? How can we receive eternal life? Without Jesus' resurrection, we only have eternal condemnation. And so, as the angels asked Mary on that day, this is a question that we should be asking ourselves this morning. And that is, why are you crying? Why are you crying? If you think about it, in this world, there's a lot to cry about, right? I think everyone can agree with me on that. There's a lot to mourn. There's a lot of tragedies and devastations in our lives. And why do we cry? Because we have personal struggles and failures. We cry because of the tragedy of loss of family and loss of loved ones. We cry over so many different things. We cry over wars, poverty. We cry over disease and injustices. And the list goes on and on. We cry with all the evil that terrorizes our world and our lives. But what we are really crying over is sin. We're crying that sin has broken our world and has broken our lives. And whether you believe it or not, it's quite obvious, it's undeniable that there are so many things in our lives, in this world, to cry about. But it's not just us. We're crying all the time, whenever we go through, you know, tribulation, struggles. As you know, throughout the Bible, there are so many people who cried. Those people who wept as well. The prophets, they have wept over the nation as they saw their people going to wickedness and sin. We see many people throughout the Bible weeping over personal tragedies because of the brokenness of the world. So in the Old Testament, remember Hannah, who wept because she couldn't have a child. We remember David, who wept because his son had died. In the New Testament, we remember Mary and Martha, how they wept by Jesus because their brother Lazarus had died. We remember Peter, after denying Jesus three times, as Jesus had foretold, after rooster crowed. When Jesus looked at Peter, and what did Peter do? He went outside and he cried. He wept bitterly. Throughout history, mankind has wept. Wept because of sin and because of death. And so we grieve and we weep and we look for a solution. We look for a joy and look for happiness. We look to put our hope in someone or something so that we will restore all things so that that'll make our lives right, something that'll stop us from crying. But then when we are let down, then we grieve again and we weep again. Without Jesus, we're like the disciples. We're like those people who don't have hope. Because if we have no hope, then we'll continue to weep. Leon Morris points out, we continue to look for a corpse, those dead things that cannot save us, hoping that we will be saved, that our tears will be wiped away. However, we cannot look for salvation in a corpse. Rather, we must look for salvation in a person and the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. For there is no solution in getting rid of our sin except through a perfect sinless offering. And that is what Jesus was. He was an offering that sin had no control over, that death had no control over him. Through Jesus' perfect life and his perfect sacrifice, he perfectly obeyed and fulfilled the law of God. He perfectly appeased the wrath and the righteous judgment for sin of God. And he was perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. Only Jesus fulfills all of these requirements. And it was when he died on that cross that once and for all, he brought forgiveness of sin and redemption to all who believe in him. And so we read in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is only through Jesus Christ that we have a living hope. And so, going back to our story this morning, as Mary cries, As she looks for the body of Jesus, she turns around and she sees a man who is in fact Jesus, but she doesn't know that it's Jesus. And looking right at her, this is what Jesus says. These are the very first words that are recorded in the Bible. Very first account of Jesus speaking right after his resurrection. And this is what Jesus says to Mary. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" It's ironic that the person that Mary was looking for was standing right in front of her. Yet Mary, what was she doing? She was crying. Mary, she looks at Jesus, and we read in verse 15. Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I'll get him." So many times, like Mary, our grief and our sorrow, our devastation leads us to miss the one who is able to carry our sorrows, the one who is able to wipe away our tears, Jesus, who is beside us. Instead, we look in other places when he's standing right next to us. And so, many times in our lives, instead of looking at Jesus, we look right through him. But the great love of Jesus is that he stays next to us, and he consoles us, and he comforts us, and through his love, he asks us, "Why are you crying? Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" So we're all looking for Jesus, and that's why we're here today, trying to look for Jesus, are we not? What I want to encourage all of us to do is when we come before him, we should come joyfully and triumphantly. We shouldn't come before him crying. As Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 to 56, he goes, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is a law. But thanks to be God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. As Mary cries, not able to recognize her Savior, the Messiah, whom she loves so much, what does Jesus do? All Jesus has to do in order to get her attention, help her recognize who he is, Jesus, he doesn't explain himself, who he is. He doesn't show his wounds in his hands and feet. He doesn't do that. But all he did, all Jesus did, was call her name, Mary. She goes, "Mary." And Mary, she turns and she looks to Jesus. And finally, she understands that it's Jesus. She goes, "This is my Savior. This is my Savior that I was looking for, that I was searching for." I mean, can you imagine the overwhelming joy in that moment for Mary, realizing that it was Jesus, the person that was standing right in front of her, having a small conversation? And she goes, "Rabboni, Rabboni." Mary clings to him, holds on to Jesus. And what does she do? She doesn't cry anymore. And so, this morning, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, let us hear the words of Jesus. "Why are you crying? Why are you crying?" And let us also hold on to Jesus and cry no more. For Jesus is not dead, but Jesus is alive. Let us rejoice, because although there is much death, there's much to mourn, There's much tragedy, destruction, there's so much sin in our lives and this world, yet we know that Christ has conquered the grave, and he has conquered sin, and he is our living hope. And it is because Jesus is alive even now, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God Almighty, that those who have faith in him also have victory with him. Victory over the law, victory over the sin, and victory over death. And this was not done by our own work. It was not done by our own merit. It wasn't done because we're all good-looking and pretty-looking people, because we have done something, you know, good. But as Titus 3 reminds us, but when the goodness and loving kind of God, our Savior, the goodness and loving kind, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Why did Jesus save us? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did Jesus resurrect from the grave? Why does he forgive our sins? Why does he give us eternal life? Because he is good and he's kind. And he's full of grace and mercy. And it's because of his love for us that he has chosen us through his grace to become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. As we look at this passage this morning, we see Jesus coming to Mary, consoling her, comforting her like a child. And as I was preparing the sermon, as I was reading this passage, I was actually reminded of myself and my son, Abe. You might go, what are you talking about? You're not even Jesus, right? But for those of you who don't know my son, Abe, he's 18-month-old baby. He can now walk, finally. I think he can almost run now. But so he's always full of curiosity. He wants to explore the whole world. And so he, you know, walks around everywhere. And because he's so active, when he gets out of my sight, I hear him from time to time. I hear him crying, right? Crying somewhere. And what I do is, just like any father in the world, I run to him immediately, as soon as I hear him crying. And what I do is I kneel down in front of him and I ask him, for the first thing that I do is I ask him, why are you crying? What happened? I mean, something must have happened to him, right? I go, what happened? Why are you crying? And he babbles, right? Unfortunately, I can't understand him, what he's trying to say or what he wants. But I still go, why are you crying? The reason why I do that is because I love him dearly. I care about him. And most importantly, I am around him. See, as I was meditating and really chewing on this passage, I couldn't help but draw a parallel between my relationship with my son, Abe, and God's love for all of us. Just as I run to Abe when he cries and ask him, why are you crying? Are you okay? Why are you crying? So does our Heavenly Father rush to us whenever we cry. He asks us, why are you crying? Are you okay? Why are you crying? His love for us is like that of a parent for their child, always present and ready to comfort, console us. Likewise, Jesus comes to us this morning. And as his children, whatever we're going through, whatever causes us to cry and weep in our lives, Jesus comes and he asks us, Why are you crying? Why are you crying? Don't you know that I'm alive? Remember, I'm alive. After Mary sees Jesus, after the disciples see Jesus, we don't read an account of them crying and moping around anymore because of Jesus. They don't cry anymore. When we go into the book of Acts, we don't see Peter or John or Silas, Paul, any of the disciples or the apostles, we don't see them weeping because of Jesus. They don't cry anymore. And just like the disciples, just like Mary, we're also able to persevere in our lives no matter what happens. Even though there is continued grief and persecution, even though there is death, we are able to persevere and hope in this life because we know that Jesus is alive and that we will spend eternity with him in heaven. And so for us today, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is calling our names as he called Mary 2,000 years ago. We are able to hope no matter what happens because we know that Jesus will wipe away every tear. And I do want to end with what Isaiah proclaimed in the Old Testament. This is what Isaiah is proclaiming. He goes, "And he will swallow up in this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Praise be to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the only one who is able to save us. For those who belong in him, he has given us a living hope, and he has wiped away every tear so that in this life and eternity, we will praise him for the salvation that he has given us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and kindness, and we lift your name high, for we know that you alone are worthy to save us. You alone are the perfect sacrifice to forgive our sins. We're so thankful for that. So, Father, on this Easter Sunday, we pray that you would continue to fill our hearts of rejoicing, knowing that you stand here before us and with us, that you call our names, that you will wipe away every tear, and that you will continue to work through us to be sanctified until that day we're glorified with you in heaven. So thank you, Lord, again for all that you have done for us and all that you will also do through us and in us. We thank you for giving us eternal life. And we pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.